Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to get right into it today. Somebody say kingdom authority. Amen. This is part 9, if you're counting. Amen. Hopefully you're not getting bored with it. Amen. I do believe God is speaking to us. Amen. If you've missed any of them, what this church, I believe, has learned over the years, if you've been a part of this church over the years, we have learned that when God begins to speak to us like he's been speaking to us, and what we thought was one lesson turns into 9, we realize that this is a word from the Lord. Amen. So if you're a part of this church, if you've missed any of the lessons, any of the messages that have gone forth, I strongly encourage you to get on our website, listen to the ones that you have missed, and I know you'll be blessed because of it. Amen. This past Thursday, the Lord spoke to us about this verse, James chapter 3 and verse 16. James 3, verse 16. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion. Somebody say confusion. And everybody say every evil work. The envying, where there is envying and where there's strife. Envying is a contentious rivalry. It is a jealousy. That's what that word is speaking of. This could be at home. This could be at school. This could be at work. This could be at church. This is an attitude of one who is so jealous or has such a rivalry, a heated emotional feelings about someone else that it has turned contentious. They are contentious towards that individual, anger and bitter and mean-spirited. And how many know you don't have to say a word to them to be that way? Amen. And this strife is negative feelings. Envy, negative feelings that are very, those feelings are very passionate. They're very strong. Okay, it's not just like a passing thing, but you think about it when you see them, when you look at them at school, work, home, church, whatever it is. Those feelings are always there, envy. And then it speaks of strife, and strife is bitter conflict. It's, again, contentious. It is marked by the lack of agreement or harmony with that individual. It is a very bitter conflict. And both of these speak of a fracture between individuals. Right? They both speak of a fracture. There is no harmony there. There is no agreement there. There is a brokenness there. There is a fracture between whatever it might be, brothers and sisters in the Lord, husbands and wives, kids, work, co-workers, whatever it is. There is a fracture between these individuals, and it speaks of heated words, and it speaks of heated actions, just angry and saying things and texting things and emailing things and all that kind of stuff, or the same feelings present themselves in just the opposite of that. They can also present themselves in just completely avoiding the individual. Right? So it's, yelling and screaming and fighting and arguing, or just totally avoiding the individual because of how much, we hate them and can't stand them and all these feelings that we have about them. We don't like what they did. We don't like what they said. We don't like how they treated us. We don't like how they treated our kids. We don't like we don't have what they have. We don't like that they were used and we weren't used. They got the promotion and we didn't get it. Whatever it could be. Right? And so these feelings, these angers, this anger, this frustration and a sure sign that we're bound by envy and a sure sign that we're bound by strife is that we're pulling ourselves further and further and further away, pulling ourselves further away from the family member or from the church member or from the friend. Well, they used to be a friend. They're not anymore. And we're pulling away from them. And so that is a sure sign. Now, I'm not saying you got to go out to eat with them every other day. I'm not saying that. But you know what I'm talking about. Where you're just pulling away and you don't want to be around them. You don't want to be near them. You don't want to see them. You have so much anger and resentment and bitterness towards them that you just can't stand to even see their face. And here's the thing. It's been my experience that most of the time, those types of people feel as if they are totally in the right for feeling how they feel. Listen to me now. Let's not get distracted by a million things here. Let's listen to what the word of the Lord is saying. It's been my experience that most of the time, those kind of people always feel like they are right. They don't feel wrong in the least for acting like they're acting. In fact, you know, when messages like this go forth, they always think that we're talking about somebody else. He's not talking about me because I know why I feel how I feel. And I've got a very legitimate reason for feeling the way I feel. So he's talking about somebody else. And the reason is because they are believing a lie from Satan. We already learned this, that Satan has no power other than lies. And when we believe the lies, we give in to these things. And they are believing a lie from Satan that's telling them that they have been wronged. They have been done wrong. So you have every right to feel the way you feel. It's normal to feel the way you feel because you have been done bad. Everybody else is wrong. Everybody else just doesn't see it. Everybody else is missing the point. Everybody else is just choosing to ignore the facts. Well, if they just knew what I know, and if they just live with me, and if they just had seen everything that I've seen, nobody knows the real that person except me. And because I've seen all these things, I've got a valid reason to feel the way that I feel. But the truth of the matter is that's nothing but believing a lie from the enemy. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. But the book says this. It's very plain what's going on. It's very plain what's going on. The Bible says, again, in James 3 and 16, for where envying and strife is, there is what? Confusion. There is confusion. There is confusion and every evil work. So get this now. The one that is being controlled by this envy, I am so trying to help somebody. Whether you're going to listen or not is up to you. I am so trying to help somebody break free from the mess that you are in. Please listen to me. The one that's being controlled by this envy, the one that is being controlled by the strife, is the one that is living in the confusion. They think they know. They think they know better than everybody else. They think they've got it all figured out and everybody else is missing the point. The truth of the matter is they are the ones living in the confusion. And they are operating in a place of confusion. And they are thinking thoughts that are based on total and utter confusion. And so here they are now making decisions, sometimes major decisions, in a place of total and utter confusion. They have no idea what the right thing to do is. And yet here they go just blindly changing this and altering this and doing this and all kinds of stuff from a place of confusion. And because they're walking in confusion and believing those lies of the enemy, the Bible says that that opens the door for Satan to work every evil work in their life. Somebody's wondering, man, how long are you going to talk about strife and envy? Maybe until you get it. We're not going to talk about it every Sunday, but man, I am so reaching and I could come back and, well, I know who it is. And it's multiple people that I know about, and it's multiple people that I don't know about. But I'm trying to help us to understand the reality of God's word. Because Satan wants to do every evil work in our lives. And one of the most frustrating things about ministering, one of the most frustrating things about pastoring is people that won't listen. I'm going to talk about this now. People that won't listen because they think they know and they think they've got it figured out and they think they have all the right answers. The truth of the matter is they are walking in confusion. And sometimes they're so bold about it and they're so blatant about it and they're just so, no, this is what I'm going to do and this is right and I dare you, all that. No. They're walking in a place of total and utter confusion. This is why, hear me, this is why a submitted heart and a submitted life and a teachable spirit is key to walking in kingdom authority. You say, well, you're not talking about kingdom authority anymore. Oh, you better believe I am. I've never been talking about it more than what I'm talking about right now. You cannot operate in kingdom authority if you are unsubmitted and not able to be taught. Because if we're basing the direction of our life on a lie and walking in confusion, then there's no escaping that on your own. You got to get this. Because if on your own, if you're believing the lie, there's no escaping it because you think the lie is truth. Why would you escape something that you think is true and right and correct? You wouldn't do it. You would stay in it. And the enemy, that's why he just continues to wreck and ruin and beat you up all the time. The only way to escape from that open door of the enemy, hear me, is for us to become willing to submit ourselves to the authority of God's word, to spiritual authority, and to our godly spiritual friends that love us. Even when we don't necessarily like what they're saying. The only way to break free from Satan's work is to submit ourselves to godly counsel when it instructs us concerning the changes we need to make in our lives, the changes we need to make in our thoughts, and the changes we need to make in our actions. For when somebody is living in confusion, when somebody is believing a lie, the only fix for that is for them to believe the counsel from someone outside of their situation that's telling them, you are believing a lie. What you are believing is not right. It is not true. It is not godly. And then it is up to that person to then say, well, I thought it was true, but I'm going to submit myself to authority. You see this now? I'm going to submit myself to godly spiritual friends that love me enough to tell me what is true. I'm going to submit myself to that. Now all of a sudden, I can begin to believe what is really true instead of the lie that I thought was true. Am I making sense? Oh, hallelujah. This is what submission is all about. This is why submission to authority is so very important. Because if we refuse to submit to authority, we're just going to keep believing lies. And then we're just going to keep leaving the door open, and Satan's just going to keep coming in and wrecking and stealing and killing and destroying. It's going to take that individual to become willing to submit to a voice that is speaking contrary to the lie, to the lies that they thought were true. I mean, no, that's not always easy to do. That's why submission isn't an easy thing, but it is an absolutely necessary thing. If we're ever going to be able to walk in kingdom authority, we are going to have a submitted and a teachable spirit. Nobody that walks in kingdom authority is an individual that says, well, bless God, I'm just going to do it the way I want to do it. And nobody. I'm just going to do it by myself. I'm going to do it on my own. I'm just a lone wolf, and nobody can tell me what to do, and I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to do whatever God tells me to do. You know the one of the surefire, and I've dealt with a few unsubmitted people in my ministry. You know, one of the surefire verses that the person brings up that lets me, it's like a red flag that says, I'm unsubmitted, is the verse that says, it's better to obey God than man. You know how many times I've heard that? These totally unsubmitted people that God wants me to do this, but spiritual authority, you're telling me, you know, I shouldn't do this, that, or the other. But you know what? It's better to obey God than man. And you couldn't write a big enough banner over your head that says, I'm totally unsubmitted when you read that verse. Number one, you're taking it totally out of context. We don't have time to get into it. That was a freebie right there. If you were thinking about bringing that verse to me after church, you might want to save that one, because it doesn't work with me. But they stay in perpetual problems, and they stay in perpetual issues all the time because they don't want to submit to the voice of truth. Now here's something else I know to be true. Here's what they do. They surround themselves with, and they only talk with, other unsubmitted people. Why? Because they're looking for somebody to reinforce the lies they're believing. They'll talk all day long with people that are cold in spirit. They'll talk all day long with people that are half backslid. But you'll never catch them asking and talking and asking for advice from their pastor or from spiritual leaders or spiritual friends. Unsubmitted people never come to submitted people and ask advice. They always go to other unsubmitted people. They'll talk all day to people that have left the church. They'll talk all day to people who are disgruntled in the church. They'll talk all day to the people when everybody else is up here praying and crying and going after the things of God. Then you got a few that are just kind of moseying around in the back, and those are the ones that those people gravitate towards. They want to talk to those people. They want to hang around those people because they don't want to be confronted with the fact that they are unsubmitted. It's amazing to me how many times I've seen it 100 times. Every great once in a while, I'll ask you to lay hands on somebody and pray. Like, you know, a couple times a year, I'll ask that. It is amazing to me how many times I see two unsubmitted people connecting themselves with each other in prayer. I see it all the time. They could be surrounded by 37 submitted people, but man, they're going to gravitate towards the unsubmitted person and pray for them and join up and pray for them. Why? Because like spirits attract. I know I'm teaching kind of hard today, but it's all in love. Like spirits attract. And the unsubmitted spirit in the life of one person can pick up on the unsubmitted spirit in the life of another person. If they're in a room of 1,000 people and there's 2 unsubmitted people in the room, they're going to find each other. They're going to find each other because like spirits attract. So because they're unsubmitted and because they refuse to listen to the truth, that spiritual authority, spiritual godly friends would present to them, what do? They continue believing the lie, and they continue opening the door for the enemy to work every evil work in their life. And let me just confront another lie that somebody's thinking right now. Because you know I'm preaching to you, and yet your life right now isn't all that bad. And you think it's going to stay like this. It's not. It's not. Well, I know what pastor's saying, every evil work and all that kind of stuff. But you know what? I know I'm not submitted. I know I got bitterness and envy and strife towards so-and-so and so-and-so in the church. And I know I got all these feelings. But you know what? Our bills are being paid. Everybody seems pretty healthy. Marriage is doing pretty good. Everything seems good. Everything's going all right now. Everything's fine. So pastor's wrong. Let me tell you something. It's the grace and the mercy of God that everything is okay according to your definition of okay. But just because it's that way now doesn't mean it's going to be that way tomorrow, and it doesn't mean it's going to be that way next week, and it doesn't mean it's going to be that way next month or next year. God's word does not lie. If God's word says that strife and bitterness and anger and a vengeful spirit opens the door to every evil work, I promise you, every evil work is going to begin to operate in your life at some point. Oh, hallelujah. And so here's what I've seen. And I thank God for this. And if this has been your experience, by no, please understand, I'm not trying to denounce you or throw you under the bus or make you feel bad. I'm not trying to do that at all. But truth still needs to be spoken, even if people in the church at one point broke the truth. Because here's what I've seen. I've seen people that are unsubmitted and didn't want to listen to spiritual authority. They didn't want to listen to godly spiritual friends that were speaking to them truth. They didn't want to listen to any of it. And so they opened the door to every evil work. And their life got worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And it took it getting so bad for them. It took that. Now, you know, they backslid, their family, home, married, all kinds of stuff happened. Just tremendous pain, sorrow, scars for the rest of their life. But they ended up having to get to such a low point. And then when they got to that point, then that low, terrible, painful point in their life brought them back to the things of God. And they realized at that point, hey, you know what? They were telling me the truth. They were telling me the truth. Every evil work is at work in my life. I see now that they loved me enough to speak the truth in love to me. And what happens sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes, and I thank God for it, is that individual makes the realization and sees, and then they come back to the church. And thank God for restoration. Thank God for that. And we'll restore them, and we'll love them, and we'll all this kind of stuff. But invariably, they will say, I wish I would have just listened in the first place. I wish I would have just listened to authority. I wish I would have just been submitted to authority in the first place. It would have spared me the years of pain. That's why I'm talking about what I'm talking about right now, because I'm trying to spare somebody years of pain and suffering so that you don't have to get to some terrible low point that is beyond your imagination right now and then realize, hey, pastor really did love me enough to teach me the truth and speak to me the truth. So I'm going to go back to the house of God and I'm going to repent and pray. My friend, come on, I'm trying to spare you scars that you're going to have for the rest of your life and memories that you're going to have for the rest of your life and some damage that's going to be irreparable because of an unsubmitted heart and an unsubmitted spirit. And all of this is talking about kingdom authority. For the book says this in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 8. We've discussed this before when talking about submission. But look, Matthew 8 and 8. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Now, watch what this man says. He says, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goes. And to this man, come, and he comes. And to my servants, do this. And they do it. Notice, this man had authority because he allowed himself to be under authority. You say, well, I think I can operate in the power God gave me and the authority God gave me and do the will of God for my life and my ministry without being totally submitted to the spiritual authority in my life. No, you can't. It is absolutely 100% impossible for you to do what God has called you. You can do some stuff in the flesh. And if you got great personal skills and all that kind of stuff, you might be able to accomplish a little bit more than that. But you're never going to be able to accomplish anywhere a tenth of what God has called you to accomplish if you are unsubmitted and if you are unteachable and you don't have a teachable spirit. Why? Because this man understood the principle. He said, because I am under authority, I can then speak with authority. And all this kingdom authority stuff we're talking about, it is all based upon a life that is submitted to authority. You're never going to be able to have power and authority to do what God has called you to do if you are unsubmitted to the authority of your life. That's why we preach submission so hard around here. And that's why submission is such a core foundational belief around here. Not because anybody's on a power trip. Listen, it couldn't be further from my mind to be on some kind of power trip because, bless God, I'm the pastor and you got to do what I say. I don't think that at all. That thought never even enters my mind. Now, that's what the enemy's going to want you to think. Again, what? Because all he has is lies. So he's going to tell you, well, yeah, the pastor, he's just on this power trip and he just wants you to do what he tells you to do. And, you know, he just, you know. Lies, 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 lies. But we preach what we preach and we speak this in love but with boldness because we want every person in this church to be able to operate in kingdom authority. That's all. I want you to walk in your authority. I want you to walk in the ministry that God has called you to accomplish. There are people sitting on these pews today that there is such an anointing and a calling upon your life, but you're not doing one thing with it because you are unsubmitted. And I'm not trying to beat you up. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to release you because you've got a part to play in the church, and the church is being negatively affected because you're not operating in the role that God has called you to operate in because you have an unsubmitted heart. And I'm just trying to show you through the word of the Lord. Listen, we love you, and we need you, and we're trying to release you. Oh, hallelujah. Why do you think the enemy's planted all those thoughts in your head against spiritual authority? Think about this for a minute. Why do you think the enemy plants those thoughts in your head? Again, about spiritual authority or about your godly spiritual friends in the church? Yeah, they just don't know. They just don't understand, and they just don't love me. If they loved me, they would understand. If they loved me, they would agree. And they just don't love me because every time I talk with them, they're just always telling me what to do, the things I don't want to do. Come on now, let's just be real. And things against spiritual authority and things against the pastor. Well, the pastor just doesn't love me. The pastor just doesn't care. And the pastor this and the pastor that. Why do you think the enemy is lying to you and speaking all of those things into your mind? Why? He is trying to separate you from the people that can speak truth into lies. Do you see this? Listen, just take a step back and look. He does not want you fulfilling your ministry. He does not want you fulfilling your calling. He does not want you fulfilling your purpose. He does not want that which is spiritual for you to operate in spiritual authority in your home and in your family and in your marriage and in your finances and in your ministry. He doesn't want you doing any of that. So what does he do? He lies about authority and spiritual authority and godly friends that are trying to speak truth into our lives. He lies, and what do? We separate ourselves from the very ones that could speak truth into lies, thereby releasing him to continue to work every evil work in our lives. Because why? Because that individual, because they refuse to listen to the people who are trying to speak truth, those individuals continue to walk in confusion. And in confusion, there is every evil work. And this is what we're trying to guard. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost. I'm trying to help somebody now. Can we just lift our hands for a moment? Oh, hallelujah. God, help us. God, help us. God, help us, help us, help us, help us. Man, I'm reaching for somebody's ministry right now. I am reaching for somebody's ministry right now. Stop listening to those other unsubmitted voices. Don't be afraid to break free from those voices. No matter how strong of a pull they may have on your life. Those voices that are saying, you don't need to talk to pastor. You don't need to listen to what those people, you don't need that. You don't know. Break free from that. So that you can walk in the purpose and the plan of God for your life. Oh, hallelujah. Let me just make this observation right now so we kind of understand where we are. So that you can't maybe bounce this off on somebody else that I'm not preaching maybe to you. If when the sermon and the messages of strife and bitterness and unsubmission goes forth, if you're uncomfortable, it's probably because you have strife and bitterness and an unsubmitted heart. Is that fair to say? If you're finding 100 other things to do to distract you from the word of the Lord and all this kind of stuff, to keep you from focusing your attention upon the word of the Lord, it's because the word of the Lord is specifically for you. And the enemy doesn't want you to hear it. So if that's you, if that's you in this room right now, if that's you, why would you want to keep living like that and opening the door to every evil work when you can shut the door? You have the ability to shut the door. How? Through believing truth. Through believing truth. Now you got to be submitted to spiritual authority to believe the truth or to hear the truth. But if you can get to that place, then you're going to begin to believe truth and the lies are going to stop. And the cycle of destruction is going to cease. I hope you understand my motive here today. I get nothing out of this other than it's not the most comfortable thing to talk about. I'm trying to help you. That's it. I'm trying to help you walk in your God-given destiny. I'm trying to get you to walk in blessing and in promise and anointing and in favor. That is my total reason for speaking this. So if you're sitting here today, I want to strongly encourage you to make sure you're submitted to God, to God's word, spiritual authority. And that submission is going to show up by you having a spirit that allows others to mold you, to shape you, and to teach you the ways you need to go. And it might not be the way you want to go, but submission isn't about saying yes when you agree with them. Submission is about saying yes when you disagree. Submission is saying, spiritual authority saying, go down this way, but I want to go this way. But because I'm submitted to spiritual authority and I realize he sees or they see something that I don't see, I'm going to go this way. You see that? Because down here is some danger that they don't understand and they don't know. But you have to be teachable. You can't say things like, well, I'm just going to do it anyway. Well, that's just the way I feel, and we just have differences of opinion, and that's what you say, but this is what I think, and I'm just going to do what I feel is right. No, you have to be teachable, and you have to be submitted, or else you're going to keep walking in danger. The book so wonderfully, and I'm hurrying, the book so wonderfully encapsulates what I'm talking about when it says in Job chapter 6, verse 24, teach me, and I will hold my tongue. And cause me to understand wherein I have erred. Here's what it's saying. Teach me, teach me, teach me, teach me. But you can't be taught if you're constantly talking. Teach me and I will hold my tongue. I'm going to shut up long enough for somebody to speak into my life. I'm not going to keep talking about why I'm right. I'm not going to keep talking about what I think. I'm not going to keep talking about what I feel or what I know. I am going to hold my tongue so that somebody can speak to me and cause me to understand where I have erred. We cannot help you if you're constantly trying to prove how right you are. Oh, somebody said amen. A mark of one who does not have a teachable spirit is the one who constantly has a rebuttal for anything anyone ever says to them. I know this is tough today, but let's just power through it, all right? Somebody that does not have a teachable spirit is an individual that, and I've seen it, I've dealt with it, and it is so tiresome. I sit there and I'm trying to help them, and I'm saying, this is wrong in your life. No, 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 but this, you don't understand. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, but now let me tell you this. This attitude and this thing is wrong. No, they always have a rebuttal. They always have a comeback. They always have this thing that they're coming back with to show that what I said was wrong, or what a godly spiritual friend said was wrong, or that it's not applicable to them, or that maybe it's applicable to somebody, but it's not applicable to my life. They always have this comeback. They always have this word. They always have, well, you just don't know. That is a mark of someone who is not teachable. What they're doing is they're just espousing and reinforcing the lie. So I'm speaking truth to them, but they're just reinforcing the lie. No, 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 you just don't understand, blah, 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 blah. They're just reinforcing the lie. And so what happens? They leave the room and they still believe the same lies they walked in with because they did not give truth an opportunity to speak into their life. Always trying to prove how right they are, how wrong everybody else is. But the book is telling us if we would hold our tongue long enough for somebody to teach us, then we can see the error of our ways. Hallelujah. So the question is this. Do you want to feel like you were vindicated? Do you want to feel like you got the last word, or do you want to be profitable in ministry? Because I see people in the church that with their actions, they think they're proving, you know, I'm going to stand my ground here. This, what was done wasn't right, and so I'm going to stand my ground, and you're going to know that this is the way I feel because I'm not going to respond anymore, and I'm not going to pray, and I'm not going to do ministry, and I'm just going to bull up and sit here. And they're proving. They think they're proving how right they are. But the truth of the matter is they're just believing a lie. And you may feel like you're getting the last word, and you may feel like you're being vindicated, and you may feel like, you know what, if nobody else is going to do it, bless God, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to stand, and I'm going to do whatever. You may feel vindicated, but you are not going to be profitable in ministry. And so what do you want? The book continues with this thought when it says in Job chapter 33 and verse 33, if not, hearken unto me, hold thy peace, and I shall teach thee wisdom. Hold thy peace. You can't talk and listen at the same time. Hold thy peace so that somebody can teach wisdom. Job chapter 34, verse 32, that which I see not. This is so, watch this, and I'm almost done. That, if this whole verse encapsulates it right here, Job 34, 32. That which I see not, teach thou me. If I have done iniquity, I will do no more. That is the heart of a submitted person. That which I never even saw that in my life. I never even realized that was taking place in my life. Why? Because I was believing a lie that I thought was true. So I didn't even see it, but because I allowed somebody to teach me what I couldn't see for myself, I now have the ability to stop doing the iniquity, the sin, the wrong that I was doing. You see how beautiful this is? You see how beautiful a submitted heart is? Oh, hallelujah. There's these things in my life that I cannot see. But if I'll allow somebody to talk to me, if I'll submit myself to somebody, they're going to help me. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. The danger of an unsubmitted life and a heart that is not teachable is that it'll get us to a place that's recorded in the scripture, 1 Corinthians 3 and 1. And I'm done after this. 1 Corinthians 3 and 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for ye are yet carnal. How do we know that? For whereas there is among you envying and strife and division, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Envying and strife and division speak so clearly of an unsubmitted life. And the Bible is very plain when it says that that type of individual will never be able to graduate to the greater things of God and the deeper things of God because they are too carnal to receive them. Is that what it says? It said, I tried to do this. I tried to feed you with meat, but you couldn't handle it because you were just like a baby, spiritually immature. And you could never move beyond that point. Why? Because of the strife, the envy, and the division that was in your life. And I don't want anybody in this room to have that verse. And I don't want that verse to be applicable to me. And I don't want it to be applicable to you. So I want to encourage all of us to submit ourselves to God, submit ourselves to this book, submit ourselves to the leaders, submit ourselves to elders, submit ourselves to ministers, submit ourselves to brothers and sisters in the Lord, godly, spiritual brothers and sisters in the Lord that love us enough to speak the truth to us, submit ourselves to the pastor that God has placed over us so that we can move forward and move deeper in the things of God and graduate from the place of milk to the place of meat so that we can do something great for the kingdom. Amen. Let's stand. Let's stand. Jesus, we love you. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. I wonder if somebody could just pray right now. Could somebody just lift your voice right now? Jesus, we need you. Come on, God's speaking to somebody right now. God, I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I want to have a submitted heart and a teachable spirit. I want to have a submitted heart and a teachable spirit. God, if there's any unsubmitted way in my life, I repent of it right now. If there's anything in my life, in my spirit, in my soul that is not teachable, moldable, God, I repent of it right now. Show it to me, God. God, I want to do what you've called me to do. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord God. Blessed be the name of the Lord God. Blessed be the name of the Lord God. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 27, says this: neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. So how do we do that? How do we give place to the devil? Next few verses, 28, says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. So that's one way we can, if we do those things, we won't be giving place to the devil. But then watch verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Let nothing that is corrupted, negative, corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. But only let that which is good leave your lips, that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the ones that hear it. So how do we give place to the devil? We give place to the devil by releasing corrupt communication from our lips. But how do we not give place to the devil? We do that by speaking that which would edify, build up, strengthen, esteeming all others higher than ourselves, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. Verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Grieve not the Lord. The Spirit of God wants to do something, but it is being grieved. It is being stopped. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. How do we grieve the Holy Spirit and stop him from doing what he wants to do in our lives? Verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice. So what it's saying is if we have bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, and malice, if we have those things, it's going to grieve the Holy Spirit. And he's not going to be able to work like he wants to work. But if we put those things away from us, we release the Spirit of God to work. And now watch verse 32. He's still going on here. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. There it is. There it is. Well, you just don't know what they did. You just don't know what they said. No, but what did you do against Christ? What was your sin against Christ? We don't want to talk about that. But Christ forgave us. So if Christ forgave us, we forgive others. We're not bitter towards them. We don't have wrath towards them. We don't have anger towards them. We don't have clamor and evil speaking. We don't speak evil communications and corrupt communications out of our lips or from our phones or from the internet. We don't do that kind of stuff. And listen, if we do, we give place to the devil. He works every evil work, and we grieve the Holy Spirit. It's not any more plain than that right there. Now it's just a matter of what are we going to do? What are we going to do in Jesus' name? Amen. One more time, let's just thank the Lord.